Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show to talk health and the healing process. And we always have a theme that we kick off our conversation around, and today's theme is sleep. Dr. Troy is going to talk about maybe five of the main reasons that we don't always get a good night's sleep, and then five hacks for getting a good night's sleep. And insomnia, and just varying degrees, is epidemic right now. Millions of people struggle with getting a good night's sleep. I'm someone who struggles with that, and I've done a lot of this, taken a lot of the steps that we need to take, but we're still on this exploration journey. And Dr. Troy and I will talk a little bit about that toward the end, where there's sometimes exceptions when you've crossed all your T's and dot your I's and you're still struggling. Well, that just means it's time to ask a few more questions. So we'll talk about that now. But if you've got health and healing questions, you can text them in 877-933-2484. And a quick reminder, Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose over the airwaves. It just wouldn't be, it's too much to ask for him. And you've got maybe medicines you're on and a doctor that you need to consult with. This is really just to give you a fresh perspective on every step towards healing matters and maybe allow you to think about an angle or a strategy that you haven't thought of before. Here's the text line again if you want to text, 877-933-2484. Some of the questions we're going to try to tackle today is, what are some of the most common causes for insomnia? What are some of the most common choices we make on our own that we don't even realize that are getting in the way of our good night's sleep? What tweaks can I make today that may make a difference in the long run? When is it helpful to add supplementation? If I feel constantly wired and tired, does that indicate adrenal fatigue? And if so, what should I do about it? Like I said, we'll try to tackle those. Quick announcement, got a few more days left to sign up on Strong in Battle study. It's free. And you go to myfaithradio.com. You don't even need the book to do it. You'll get excerpts every week in the email with a little audio from me where I'll just share a word of encouragement with you and then a prayer to send you on your way. And then a weekly live stream that we'll do throughout the course of the study. So I'm looking forward to that. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Yes. Look, one of these days you're going to come to this station and it'll be locked.
Yes.
Hey, nobody said anything. Not really. That won't happen. Anyway, so talk to us about what God's talking to you about these days.
Well, I'm going to just read from scripture here in regards to the Jesus calming the storm scenario. So then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Mm. Just love that for this particular event. Just has so much to say over so many walks of life. And for me, I just find this just absolutely fascinating. Number one, it tells us that Jesus, during his short time on earth here, had storms and trials and tribulations. This is a literal storm, so it really wasn't a storm to Jesus, but it was to his disciples. And he calmed it down for us. And they, although they were panicky, that's kind of how we are. We tend to have these episodes of panic. So that's kind of what a lot of people always talk about. But what I wanted to kind of focus on were two other areas of that that part. And number one is that he rebuked the winds and the waves, and we it's important for us to take authority and over our environment, over where we are in life. And that's not to say with our topic tonight or today when it comes to sleep, that if you take authority is just going to improve. But I want to make sure people understand that there is a component that where that is important. The other part of it was, I just find it fascinating, and this is the human part of Jesus. He was tired. It was storming, and he was asleep. Mm. He was exhausted. And so a lot of all the things he was doing during his time here, he needed to sleep. The story, the reason why I like it, because it kind of, he kind of got upset with his disciples about their, you know, waking him up a little bit, and ye of little faith. It reminds me of when I had kids and I was taking a nap and they would wake me up. I'd get upset a little bit and say, this is how valuable my sleep is to me. And Jesus is saying the same thing. He's like, guys, come on, I need to sleep. And I just kind of love that.
Yeah, that's so great. Luke 10:19 says, Jesus is talking to his disciples, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will by any means injure you. And I remember one day the Lord whispered that to my heart. I've given you authority, so take it. And I really think, I don't know that we even ponder to the degree the enemy goes after our sleep.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of other factors which we'll talk about. It might be medication or use of supplements too close to bedtime or lots of things that can interfere. But the enemy wants to rob us of our sleep. And so I think there is always a spiritual component, or at least a lot of times there is. And let's make a case as to why. Tell us what sleep does for us and why sleep is so important.
In simple terms, it restores us. So each and every night we're restored. So we go through our day, we live daily, and we degenerate a little bit each and every day. We age each and every day, and there's wear and tear. And yet every night when we go to sleep, we get restored. So it's easy to see when you're a kid, you can fall down the stairs, you have bruises, you even might be a little sore, and you wake up the next day and you're refreshed. And then as we get older, it becomes harder and harder because we have a life accumulation of those mild traumas and stressors that necessarily haven't been dealt with. And lack of sleep will take people down health-wise faster than almost anything else. Obviously, traumas and things like that are the exception. But the lack of sleep over weeks and months and years is very, very detrimental to our health. So sleep is when our immune system protects us. It's when our immune system overcomes things. When you get a cold or flu, what do they tell you to do? Drink lots of liquids and sleep, because that's when our immune system cleans up our environment. Our immune system will fight infection. It will balance inflammation, and it will clean up the internal environment. And so that is very, very important. So sleep is our main defense against infection, inflammation, and just toxicity.
Wow. So your number one hindrance to a good night's sleep is stress. And
yes,
you say it includes mental, chemical, and physical stress. I don't know that we even have an idea of how impactful stress is on our health, our relationships, our quality of life. And sometimes we allow stress. I mean, there's times you're thrust into a stressful situation, like the disciples in the storm. But I think we forget we also have choices as to how to navigate. So maybe speak to the impact of stress and maybe advice for someone who feels like, I go to bed feeling my stress hormones releasing throughout my body.
Yeah, so that's very, very common. And stress can happen slowly throughout the day. So mental and emotional stress, it can accumulate as well. And you create stress hormones. And a lot of times it requires surrendering in the moment. And really, surrendering is the solution to stress. The challenge is actually doing what we need to do in a day and surrender when it's nonstop. And we live in a world right now where, especially if you're on social media or just having access to text messaging, chats. I know my office manager, if he left his phone on all the time or he was looking at it, it would never stop with people saying, giving feedback, or I need help with this, or there's a fire over here to put out. There's just always something that that could be perceived as stressful or you know, just adding to our to-do list. So when it comes to the stress itself, there's a couple things. One is surrendering in the moment, surrendering as often as you can, taking a break and detoxifying or decompressing from it. I'm going to say it a different way, just fasting from the stressors. And that's when we can take time, be alone with God, pray, even just be still and just try and get rid of all of the noise that's around us. And Jesus had to do that, even though he would walk from town to town, and sometimes it was a couple day or a couple week journey. He would still go off into the hills by himself and just be with God, and so be with his Father. And so we need that, especially nowadays, to have that time to get away. So even if it's a 5-minute break, I have people that stay at their computers for 8 or 10 hours straight and don't get up. And that is physical stress. That is mental stress combined. And just the stress of staring at the computer screen all day long, that is a stressor to the brain. Not moving is a stressor to the brain and body. So that's very, very important. We have to fast from those stressors, if you will. Find time, make time for that.
So a sedentary life is stressful to your body because you're made to move, and that's one of the outlets for getting rid of stress. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk about the second big hindrance, and there's a few others that we're going to even add to this list, but this one is inflammation, digestive, cardiovascular, musculoskeletal. And this dear listener says, I've heard that if you're not sleeping, you're not digesting, not that they occur at the same time, and vice versa. If you're not digesting, you're not sleeping. She says, been dealing with candida albicans in the past, having difficulty with sleep a lot and a lot of fatigue. So I'll have you speak to that, just the whole idea of inflammation, how that gets in the way. And remember, friends, we've got some hacks, too, things you can do to interrupt this kind of sleeplessness cycle. It is our desire, because it's God's desire, that we each put our head on the pillow and sleep deeply and wake up refreshed. More with Dr. Troy in a moment.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ain't no doubt about you. Everywhere that I go, you keep showing up.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. I love that song by Toby Mac. You're the goodness in my life. Talking to Dr. Troy Sproul today. He's founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. Joins us every month to talk about health and the healing process. Today, we're talking about sleep, getting a good night's sleep so you can wake up refreshed. We're walking through his list of 5 of the top reasons for that kind of that get in the way of a good night's sleep. We'll talk about 5 hacks. And I have a few other hindrances that I've learned about, read about, that I'm also going to ask Dr. Troy about. Tim says this. He says, sitting is the new smoking. And I have heard that as well, because Dr. Troy was saying sedentary lifestyle is actually very stressful for the body. Okay, so the second obstacle that kind of gets in the way is inflammation, whether it's digestive, cardiovascular, or musculoskeletal. And this listener said, have heard if you're not sleeping, you're not digesting. Not that they occur at the same time, but she said, if you're not digesting, you're not sleeping. So what do you say to that?
She is exactly right.
Wow.
So when it comes to the brain and regulation of your digestive system, the vagus nerve or the parasympathetic nervous system focuses on your rest and digest. So there is a two-way street with that. So the brain helps your digestive system, and then a lot of the neurotransmitters that help you get into deep sleep are made actually in the gut. So eventually, if you have intestinal inflammation, it can lead to disruption in the conversion of serotonin, which is one of the feel-good brain neurotransmitters, to melatonin, which is the deep sleep hormone. So there is a lot that is that comes with that, and it becomes a vicious cycle, because if you're not digesting properly, you're generally not producing the stomach acid and the enzymes properly, and then you end up getting infections like SIBO or candida or things, or even parasites that will start to grow in the environment because the pH is different. And then they produce inflammatory byproducts, and it reduces your ability to actually digest further. But even more so, there's actually a reflexive mechanism that causes your neck muscles to tighten up, and that can actually shift the occiput, your airway, and you can end up having another contribution to physical sleep disruption. So there is a big feedback loop when it comes to that. And you have to take care of the infection while addressing and improving the sleep at the same time. But if you fix the digestive system, the first thing we do with sleep, whether it's stress-induced or otherwise, is work on the digestive system. And digestive inflammation will take down the adrenal, the brain, the axis, it's called HPA axis, take down those adrenals just on par with pretty significant daily mental stressors. It's that significant.
Wow. You know, staying on the inflammation, digestively speaking, I just got to add this. Judy writes in, she says, thank you both for your powerful ministry. She said, a dear friend who's 26, living with me, has been a missionary in Nepal for 3+ years. She's thinking she needs to do a detox. She's suspicious of parasites, but a stool sample didn't pick anything up. She has watery stools that last for 5 to 6 weeks. Her other symptoms include fatigue, stomach issues. Is there a detox or cleanse that you might suggest? Also, when she starts a cleanse, would it be normal for symptoms to temporarily worsen? That is such a good question. What do you say to Judy?
Yeah. So number one, when it comes to testing for parasites, it's woefully inaccurate because they're really hard to test for. So I would, especially if there's international travel, I would assume parasites basically because you can really make a big difference if there's that level of dysfunction. It's either something very, very small microbially or it's parasitic. So doing an anti-parasite cleanse is very, very important. In a lot of those other countries, like over in Africa, using anti-parasitic medications is very common because they're right on the shelf. Like ivermectin is an anti-parasitic. It's the number one anti-parasitic worldwide. They have them right on the shelves there of the stores over in Africa and India in particular. So there are anti-parasitics that you can do like that. Anything with black walnut also can be helpful. So doing anti-parasitic cleanse is great. There's also the low FODMAP diet, and there are herbals you can take for SIBO, which would get a lot of the bacteria that might be problematic when it comes to that type of a scenario.
So when the show's over and we go to podcast, Fran, Judy, listen again to what Troy said and maybe write some of those things down. I bet you could even just get her started on a protocol that would help her heal. Okay, so stress is a hindrance to good sleep. Inflammation, wherever you find it in your body. Infection, you've touched on this, but hidden infections that disrupt the immune system function. You want to say anything more about that?
Yeah, the inflammation and the infections can be very tricky. So infections in the intestinal tract that we can identify, those are second only to infections in the bloodstream that cause our white blood cells to go up. If something causes our white blood cells to go up, those are the infections that are easy to identify, whether it's lung, a common cold or flu or something like that. But there are low-grade infections in different ways that can irritate the immune system but not cause an immediate reaction. And those are things like Lyme, mold, dental infections, and things like Epstein-Barr virus or mono, the viruses that continue to come back. And so it just takes one of those infections to take root somewhere, disrupt your sleep, and then the immune system doesn't fully defend against it, or they can become encapsulated, and that becomes very, very challenging. The other one that's very tricky is histamines. Histamine is another immune system reaction. It's where your immune system starts to react to the environment. Many people know that you have an allergic reaction in the seasonal allergies, and you'll get the eyes watering and hives can break out and stuff like that. Well, histamine doesn't always manifest that way through the eyes and the hives. Histamine is also a neurotransmitter in the brain that's excitatory. So when your histamines are too high, it can keep the brain active when it's supposed to be shutting down at nighttime. So infections can be very, very tricky. And they've also just identified another type of infection that's the smallest bacteria that can line itself up in the lining of the arteries. And the research is not fully published yet. I happened to get a glimpse of it before it was coming out. And it's very interesting because it can cause some cardiovascular disease, but it decreases the oxygen delivery to the brain, and that can also cause challenges with sleep. So those types of infections can be very, very tricky because they don't stimulate your immune system response in a normal way. So we can't measure your white blood cells and see that they're working. And these chronic infections actually will lower the overall white blood cells. So we'll see white blood cell counts below 5.0, and that's generally an indication of either an autoimmune disorder, a confused immune system reaction, or chronic infection. And a lot of times it's a chronic infection that's inducing the autoimmune. So especially when we see white blood cell counts below 3. So very important, and they're very tricky. That is by far one of the hardest, and I know you've been through many of that journey and are continuing on that yourself, and we see that with mold, Lyme, and a lot of these hidden infections. So,
you know, it's just not for sissies. And I think one of the blessings of having people like you and Dr. Jill out there are that you understand it and you're validating it, because it's so not widely known in mainstream, but it's so real. and it is such a tricky path to navigate. So to have compassion and have expertise is a gift from heaven. Okay, number 5 is B6 deficiency, water-soluble vitamins we get from many food sources, but they get depleted. Say a bit more about how that impacts sleep.
So B6 is very, very important for conversion of our active brain chemicals like serotonin to melatonin, dopamine. And so if you don't have proper B6, then you can not get good dopamine or serotonin. So we tend to get anxiety or depression, and those can impact your sleep. So you can be depressed and be tired all the time, even sleep, but not get into deep sleep. So that, which is even worse. So there are many, many people who are depressed who actually don't feel rejuvenated from sleep, and it's a sleep disorder from B6 deficiency. Now you can overdo B6, so I want you to be very, very careful not to for people to go out and just take a bunch of B6 all willy nilly. That's a medical term, willy nilly.
It sounds very official.
Yes. So be very discerning. But B6 high or low can cause pretty significant. Challenges. And interestingly enough, B6 deficiency can be part of peripheral neuropathy, and B6 toxicity can cause peripheral neuropathy. So there's different impacts to have on the nervous system, but specifically for sleep, its impact on our neurotransmitters makes it probably the most important B vitamin for the neurotransmitters being in balance for deep sleep.
Should a person get a methylation panel to find out? Because some might be excited, get excitability, you know what I mean, where it keeps them up. And others, because it's just so interesting how bees are so good for us and important, but we all respond to them in different ways. How would a person know if they're B6 deficient?
So generally speaking, you can get a couple different lab tests. It's not very clean results in any one particular lab test. So I like using a lab called SpectraCell that actually looks at the white blood cells or the leukocytes, and it'll measure the B6 content in those cells. I like looking at blood work and patterns of blood work, and so certain adrenal markers will give us a clue. Dysbiosis or bacterial imbalances will oftentimes lead to B6 excess or B6 deficiency. So the blood tests are really the best way to do it, or blood, urine, and saliva tests are the best way to do it. To identify B6 deficiency.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. I have a few that I've observed and read about and noticed in my own life that are hindrances that may surprise you. And then we'll get into the hacks and how to even start today working towards a better night's sleep. Talking to Dr. Troy Spurrell, and we'll try to get some of your questions that have come in the text line as well. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Dr. Troy Spurrell today. He joins us every single month to talk about health and the healing process. Today, we're talking about sleep because it's epidemic. Insomnia, or just even insufficient sleep at night, is happening to millions of people. And I'm one of those people. I have some complicated reasons as to why that is. But if you ever want to pray for me, please pray for a breakthrough in sleep. I think I slept 3 hours last night. And there are times I just despair over it. But I've learned so much about what hinders a good night's sleep, and it's sort of detective work with my situation. getting to the bottom of it. But Dr. Troy talked about five big reasons why the main population doesn't sleep: stress, inflammation, infection, hormone imbalance, and B6 deficiency. Just before we get to your hacks, I want to just tell you a few things, and I know you agree with these, but just in case people might not know this and maybe haven't thought about it, but I'm going to tell you a few, and you can speak to any ones you want. But one is working out too late. I just notice when I work out, even if I go for a bike ride at night, I like to bike a little bit hard, so that could be what it's a cortisol output exercise. I'm up all night. Also, if you're on your screens too late, so if you, especially if you're sensitive, but staying on your phone or your computer monitor, wait close to bedtime, it signals to your brain that it's not time to go to bed. If you're inconsistent in your bedtime, and or if you have caffeine or sugar in those evening hours, talk about any of those that maybe stand out to you.
Yeah, those are all good bits of information. And for some people, what I would say is it's important to just pay attention, have awareness of what works for you. So being consistent is very, very important. I have some people that have to do their workouts at nighttime because that's actually what calms them down and they're able to sleep better. I have other people that have to eat a protein snack or something before going to bed, and that helps them sleep through the night. And then I have other people that can't do screens, can't even watch an exciting movie or a late Vikings game because of the stress or adrenaline or what happens with that. So it's the most important thing is just to pay attention to your body and see if things can be duplicated. So if being on your screen late is something that affects you one night, see if it happens again down the road, and develop your sleep routine, and that can be very, very important. And as we age, we have to do that more and more often because we accumulate stressors in life. We're exposed to more mental, chemical, and physical stressors, so it becomes more of something we have to focus on. And when people are in their 20s, they can eat an awful diet, even eat a large pizza, and then go right to sleep. And then same thing will just take you down as a 40, 50, or 60-year-old for days.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
I love your balanced approach because you're so right, because someone could be on their screens and drop their head and snore. You know, like my hubby, he's gifted with sleep. He's in flight, head to pillow, just inches, and he's snoring, just like our pit bull, you know. But everybody's so different. And, you know, you say most people, it's healthy for you not to eat before you go to bed, so your body can do a kind of a cleanse while you're fasting. But for some of us, we have a blood sugar drop, so you have a few bites of protein and fiber, and that keeps the blood sugar level. So everybody's so unique. All right, let's jump to your hacks. The first one I thought was so interesting was prayer and forgiveness. That is a sleep hack. Talk more about that.
That really goes to just slowing things down because at nighttime in particular, our brain is the most metabolically active component of our body. So it's using a lot of the fuel. And so we want to give it as much resources as possible. And during the day, if you're using a lot of that up, and you're creating stress hormones. Stress hormones will go and excite a lot of what's going on in the body when it should be calm. So anything we can do to help calm our body during the day, better. And then when it gets to the level of like surrender, so it's one of those things where it can be easy to say, hard to do until you get it. And so I remember having conversations with my patients, and I kind of explained it this way. I said it's kind of like things happen, and you have to give it to God, and you have to just do it mentally. But it's not true surrendering until you feel it in your heart, meaning that you don't actually feel the anxiousness from it, or you don't actually feel wound up from it. And it feels the same as not caring, but you actually care. And so that's a true surrendering. And there's another part of just a deeper level of the things that keep us up at night, like forgiveness. When we're in prayer, when we are alone, that's when we get a little more clarity and can actually have a conversation with God, and God can direct us. And when we need to forgive, there's a different bit of clarity. And I think it was actually you that sent me a video of a testimony that just changed how I relay this to patients. And in that testimony, she shared that And that when God forgives, it's as if it never happened. And that's a different level of forgiveness. And yeah. In this particular testimony, Jesus was speaking to this person, and she said, "But I've forgiven these other people." And he said, "Not based on the words you chose to use after you forgave them." So basically how she was talking about them afterwards. And when God forgives, it's as if it never happened. And so at nighttime, when we're laying down to go to sleep and we don't have our to-do list in front of us, we're going to start bringing up a lot of the day's activities that are undealt with, not dealt with. If they weren't surrendered, if forgiveness wasn't at the level of what God, how God forgives, then that stuff can start to come up. So the more you actually take time during the day to address those things, the more you can sleep at night. There's a reason why Jesus was able to sleep in the storm. He Hallelujah. Had nothing he had to address. His That's to-do so list good. Was done.
Yeah.
He knew Boy. His plan. He knew God's plan for him. He knew there was a plan. He knew he was not going to be taken out by a storm.
Man. That's so good. One question came in. Would it be so interesting to know Dr. Troy's sleep routine? So before we get to your next four sleep hacks, would you mind sharing your routine? Because we're going to copy you and we're all going to sleep like you do. Even though there's not a one-size-fits-all.
Well, first of all, people should know I had a sleep disorder. So I had an undiagnosed sleep disorder.
I didn't think I knew that.
No. Wow. So I had a REM sleep disorder. And so as a child, I would talk in my sleep and sleepwalk. Even as an adult, my wife would find me like fighting off intruders in the hallway. And so I had that was affecting a lot of cardiovascular stuff and insulin and things like that. So I want to say this, just because I know a lot of things about how the body works, I definitively don't know everything. And just because I know it doesn't mean that I haven't had to work on it or continue to work on it myself. So my sleep habits are learned from my behavior. But generally speaking, I strive to not eat past 7 p.m. I actually get to sleep very early. People laugh, but I'll try and be in bed by about 8:30. And I will sleep till 6:30. Mm-hmm. And I generally fall asleep between 8:30 and 10. Mm-hmm. And so...
do you read books or what do you do?
If I don't read books, sometimes I do. Sometimes I will read books, but I do read, watch some videos and listen to some podcasts. And when I listen, I may drift off. If I find myself even not being able to focus, I turn it off. I don't want anything playing without my attention there. And for me, the biggest part of my bedtime routine was finding a mattress and the blankets that worked for me. And so I will, a lot of times, and people may not want to do this, but I have a pool and I will jump in the pool to cool down. And I keep it cold for that reason. If the kids, you know, during the day, I keep it warm if possible, or I'll have a quick cold rinse off. And that's one of my things to kind of, to get my body temperature down. And I keep a fan on in the room and I try and keep the room very, very cool. And, when I was sleeping, I was traveling and lecturing, I would look at the hotels where I got the best sleeps and I would take the mattress, pictures of the mattress. I wouldn't take the tags off cause that's a offense, I think a federal, penalty or something. But even the blankets and the sheets. And this one time my wife and I were traveling, we got upgraded. It was the best sleep both of us had. And so we duplicated that at home, that exact system. And, we've been so happy with that. And then we introduced weighted blankets. We each have one of our own. And that has helped quite a bit. And I will have a little bit of water that I have before going to bed, not enough to make me have to get up in the middle of the night or anything like that. I'm in my 50s and still sleep through the night. Don't get woken up to have to go to the bathroom, which is a thing. And I have that water beside my bed in the morning. So I have some ready when I wake up as well. And then awesome. I work out, my wife and I do a 10-minute workout in the mornings to get the blood going. And it's actually an intense 10 minutes, but it's only 10 minutes. It fits our schedule very well and it sets the tone for the day.
Yeah. And doesn't that exercise help produce melatonin for at night because you're activating your body? Let's talk for just a moment, even though that's number five or, yeah, number six, I think. No, it's number five on your list, but the idea of cooling, because this has been a new thing to me that's been so interesting, this whole cooling therapy. There are these cooling caps now. There's a study done that proved that people who are insomniacs, they have their core body temp gets higher at night compared to those who just sleep really well. And so they got, you know, cooling pillows and the like bamboo sheets and things that keep that breathe. But the cooling cap has been a game changer, but they're like $400, but it's full of like cool water and you wear it at night. And they did a test study, and these people with insomnia got just as good a sleep as those who did not have insomnia. Well, I didn't want to spend that money, so I went on Amazon and found one that's like a gel cap for people who have migraines. It doesn't stay as cold as long, but you freeze it. You pull it down over your eyes. And I literally, Doc, feel my body go whoosh. So even though I'm struggling and I think there's still a few things for me to figure out, that cooling thing is a thing. I can just tell because one, and then one night I woke up in the middle of the night, I'd taken the cap off and it was still a little cool. I put it on and I fell into a deep sleep for like 2 hours. So explain that whole dynamic, because we tend to like lots and lots of blankets and all that thing. Why has this cooling thing been such a big find?
The cooling thing is really important. And so I kind of stumbled into that. And this is a cheap hack for those that want to do it. But one of the other things I'll do when, if I ever feel wound up, I will go get a frozen bag of peas out of the freezer. And I keep them in the freezer more for this than eating them, actually. But I will get a frozen bag of peas and put them on the back of my neck and just sit in bed upright for a little bit until I feel myself kind of winding down from the stressful day. And so especially the neck, the head is one area. But the neck as well, you can kind of calm or cool those areas down, and it will impact the blood flow, number one. But also, the head really sets the tone for the temperature for the body, and the area of the brain that regulates our body temperature is called the hypothalamus. And that's right in the middle of the limbic part of the brain, which controls our hormones and our emotions. So stressful days can kind of trigger that area, and our body temperature can be affected. But the hypothalamus is also what regulates the autonomic nervous system, which is the fight or flight versus the rest and digest. So by calming that system down and cooling the body, you're putting yourself more in a parasympathetic dominant state, which is the rest and digest. So it helps with your digestive system as well. It's a little trick too for a lot of bodybuilders who are trying to get cut right before competition, and they'll do that themselves as well. So that when they wake up in the morning, they're leaner, basically. And so that's because they got a deeper sleep because of that.
That's amazing. Before we go to break, and I don't know if this is correct, but I had read this somewhere, and I think it was more just a blog post, not an expert analysis, but saying even for people who are feeling themselves going into panic or anxiety, jumping into a cold shower, just like side kind of T-bones that thing, because it stimulates the vagus nerve and gets you out of fight flight into rest digest. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, actually, yeah. So the vagus nerve is part of the rest and digest. So I'll use that therapy all the time, and having a pool or having a cold shower is something that's just fantastic to be able to go into. And one of the tricks the Swedes use is doing a sauna, and they heat their body up and they sweat and they detoxify, and then they go jump in the snowbank. And it kind of shocks your system, but it actually allows you to detoxify, but then calms your system down. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing that for generations, and it's brilliant because we now know that there's a huge component of therapeutic component with that. And so they even have found evidence of these this technology that you sit in, stand in, actually, that reduces your core temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is it those salt rooms or?
It's not the salt rooms, but they literally, it's like 3 minutes of dry freezing you, and your core temperature goes down quite a bit. But they're using it for MS and other neurodegenerative disorders with some promise, especially in Japan. So they've got some around the cities here right now that are very effective. And my wife got me one of those for my birthday 2 years ago. And some people just can't handle that change of to cold, but it's so effective at just calming, especially for people who are type A, always on the go, and you're if there's any problems with sleep, it's very helpful.
So as we get ready to break, so, you know, even just a basic hack for somebody if they don't want to buy a gel. These are for migraines. If you want to look for them on Amazon, you just put it in the freezer and then you put it over your head. It feels so good because I have so much pain in my head and jaw. But if they don't want to do that, getting into a cold shower before bed would be possibly a really good, easy step for them.
Yeah, cold shower, get sheets and blankets that breathe, and a fan.
You
can have a bag of peas or a cold pack that you can put around the base of your neck or even on your head. And it's actually very effective.
Very cool. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about a few more hacks. So we kind of did the first one and the last one. Prayer and forgiveness is the first one. Then your sleep environment is that last one. Cool environment, fan, cooling blanket or a cap. Sometimes elevated mattress, getting rid of lights. Maybe if you have a TV in your bedroom, we do, where I want to get rid of it. We don't watch it much in the bedroom. And I just think having all the electronics is kind of a hindrance to good sleep. So we got three more hacks to talk about with Dr. Troy when we come back, and we'll try to grab a few of these questions as well. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl. He's the founder, CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. But we know we've got listeners from around the world. We're talking about a very important topic, and it's universal, and it's sleep. And he grants sleep to those he loves, is what Scripture says. You'll lie down and sleep in peace, for the Lord will make you to dwell in safety. God not only made our bodies with limits that we need to rest, He made promises to give us rest. So if we don't get good sleep, and again, I'm in that camp and I fight hard for a good night's sleep. I'm just haven't had victory yet. We keep fighting because sleep is a great gift, and you really can't have optimum health without a good night's sleep. So we talked about some of the main hindrances. So now we're talking about hacks. And first one Dr. Troy talked about was prayer and forgiveness. And another one was sleep environment, cooling your environment way down. Maybe get some bamboo sheets and some, cover that breathes a little bit. Take a cold shower before you go to bed. Put a fan on. Don't be afraid of cooling things down because you'll sleep a lot better. Another one, anti-inflammatory diet with increased protein. That's a good hack. Say more.
Yeah, so anything that reduces your inflammation for most people is going to help. So anti-inflammatory diet is generally vegetables first, and then some fruit, and then lean organic proteins are very, very helpful. Sugar and excess carbs can become problematic. Doesn't mean all carbs are, but excess carbs are problematic. And then anything that's not of God, that is man-made, tends to be inflammatory or pro-inflammatory. The more we've kind of messed with the food, the more inflammatory it is. You'll see things like red meat can be inflammatory, but you can also offset that if you're not having other inflammatory foods like the sugars. The sugars really are the big, big inflammation. Alcohol, sugar consumption, breads that are processed, whole grain breads are much better for you. And again, you just have to know your body. Some people cannot tolerate dairy, and because they've changed it or altered it, or just how it's been processed. So you just have to know your body and look at the inflammatory part of it. Generally speaking, we are very deficient in vegetables. So that's where you want to focus on. The protein helps basically make, when you break it down, it makes the amino acids can help your adrenal response. It actually can reduce the stress response if you're digesting the protein properly and then using it. So proteins of just a piece of meat with veggies can be very, very helpful just with making sure your blood sugar is being balanced and not causing a lot of inflammation.
And with diet, as far as not eating at night versus maybe needing a protein fiber snack, just play with that to see which works best for you. Like, you'll notice.
Yeah, most people, 80%, will need to not eat late at night. Okay. So it's actually rare for people to need to eat something at nighttime. Mm-hmm. And most cravings occur at nighttime, so versus the day. And so it's really important to just get to know your body. The more you address the stress during the day, and the more you get into a mentally relaxed state or prayerful state, I'm going to say, the less cravings you'll have. But I will say things like candida and intestinal imbalances will actually increase your desire for salt and sugar later in the evening.
Interesting. Okay, this dear one, I want to answer this question before we get into the last two here. She says, are there negative repercussions from taking a sleep aid? What do you say?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the problem is you have to have a solution to what's causing the sleep problem in the first place and a plan to address it. So the world expert on sleep is a gentleman from Berkeley, graduated from Harvard, wrote a book, and he does not believe in sleep aids at all. However, having said that, doesn't mean there's answers to the sleep problems. And so I like to look at it like if it's okay to use them until you can identify the root cause, if you can identify the root cause. Sometimes it takes years to get to the bottom of it. So a lot of times it'll get you a certain level of sleep, but never the full recovery. Now, I will say I have had some patients that do well with it, and they're not having side effects to the sleep aid, and it's helping. And mm-hmm. So it's like a preserver until we can get other things cleaned up. Mm-hmm. So I'm not against them, but there are repercussions from taking them, and it does make it a lot harder when you do get to the root cause and you clean it up. It does make it a lot harder to retrain the brain, but it's not undoable. Most times, if you're using a sleep aid as the primary source, there's going to be eventually a repercussion maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the road. But if you're using it as a lifeline until you get to the root cause, it can be very, very beneficial in those those times.
And just to be clear, that's different than possibly supplementation. And again, you always say less is more. You know, to be honest, friends, what I'm taking is magnesium, L-theanine, and glycine. Glycine's a liver detox. Everybody needs magnesium to some degree. But, you know, and it's always detective work. And my prayer is there's a day coming that I can just lie down and sleep. But right now, at least it gives me enough sleep where I can function. This question came in. Oh, my goodness. We have so much more we could do here. Sarah asks, and she's actually one of your patients, that's why I won't say her last name, but she's a mutual friend. Any long-term effects on melatonin, 1 milligram for kids nightly?
This is a great question. So I'm okay using melatonin with kids on occasion, but it's the same thing as the sleep aid. If it's needed, it means there's something else going on that I'd rather get to the root cause of what's causing the need for it. So there is some evidence that you stop producing melatonin because there isn't a need, but I've seen the other part of that be true more. So if you have, so what you have in your body is tryptophan, it gets converted to serotonin, serotonin gets converted to melatonin. And if you're not converting that serotonin to melatonin, it's usually because of stress, inflammation, or infection. That will basically turn it into a different type of stimulatory brain acid that we don't want to have building up in our brain. And so melatonin can be very helpful. If there's a need for it, it means look for the other stress, infection, and inflammation. Now, melatonin is also a strong anti-inflammatory. So we're actually starting to see that it helps with a lot of different things during the day. So 1 milligram is not too bad. And so the reason why there's a long-term effect, I think, from melatonin, taking melatonin, is because it can cover up for the other problems of there's stress, infection, or inflammation that is not being addressed. So it's a little bit hard to answer that question because some of the science shows it on both sides of that conversation. But for me, I always want to look at what stress, inflammation, infection might be at the root.
Hmm. So you're not opposed to melatonin. It's just something that could help short term, but maybe not a fan of taking it long term. We got to go here. But this person said, what book What was the sleep expert you mentioned? What was the title of
that? I knew I was going to get that question. I can't remember. I have two books. Sleep Interrupted is one of them, but I don't remember if that's the book with the author. So that one I'll try and get. I will get back to you when I... Right. It's sitting on my desk at home.
Yes, so he'll get back to us on that. And the other two hacks were exercise, especially having a strong core, and nasal rinses. We'll just have to pick this up next time. Thank you for joining us today. Pray you found some encouragement here. Dr. Troy, we love and appreciate you. And we'll meet you all back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.